For this week, though, we are solidly in the world of labor law and potential criminal law as well, because we're contemplating the potential consequences of lying on your CV. Now, you might not be aware that a new act came into effect last year, which has laid down quite severe consequences for those who get caught fabricating or overstating their qualifications. And I've got two guests joining us to talk about that today. With me in studio is Stephen Adams, who's a senior associate in employment practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Great to have you with us, Stephen. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Pippa, to you and your listeners.
Thanks. And with me on the line, Dr. Linda Mayer, who is an HR professional and former CCMA commissioner. Linda, lovely to have your contribution as well. Welcome.
Thank you.
As to our listeners, a question. I don't know if anybody is brave enough to confess to having done it, but have you ever massaged your CV, shall we say, outside the bounds of strict truthfulness? Can you tell us? You can send an anonymous SMS if you like, or voice note, whether you made up a qualification, whether you stretched the truth about the responsibilities that you had been responsible for in a particular position, whether you tried to cover up some kind of hiccup in your employment history. Did you get away with it? Did you get caught? If you were caught, what were the consequences? And conversely, if you are on the employer's side of the table, has this happened to you? Have you had an employee lie to you about their qualifications? And if so, how did you find out and what did you do about it? I'd really welcome your input. You are welcome to send it anonymously. We do understand. An SMS to 31567 or a voice note to 0725671567. And if you want to call in with a question, you're most welcome to do so as well on 0214460567. Stephen, let's start with that legislation I mentioned. It's the new National Qualifications Framework Amendment Act, which came into effect last year. What a mouthful. What is it actually designed to cover and why was it needed?
The purpose of the amendments is really to give more teeth to the National Qualifications Framework Act. And really, it creates penalty provisions. The new amendments incorporate the penalty provisions for those employees or people applying for jobs who fabricate certain qualifications on their qualifications on their CV. I think that's one aspect of it. The mm-hmm. second aspect of it is also that it's also looking to clamp down on those institutions who really target unscrupulously those lower income earners, vulnerable people who say, look, here's an institution where you can get a qualification, and it turns out that they're not even registered.
Aha, so you spend your money paying for what you think is a bona fide course and you come out with a certificate that's actually not worth the paper it's printed on.
Precisely.
Okay. Really important. So this is chiefly intended as a device against those bogus educational institutions. Are there a lot of them around, Stephen?
To my knowledge, I'm not familiar with how many bogus institutions there are. You do hear stories, however, from time to time where people have studied these online courses through online institutions only mm-hmm. to find out that they're not registered. And the qualifications counts really for nothing.
Okay. And I must say, it's usually around about this time in the year, February, March, we start getting emails from parents saying we registered for a course and then find out it wasn't properly formally registered with SACWA, et cetera, et cetera. And how do we get out of those contracts? So it does certainly happen. Now, penalty provisions. This act sets out consequences which are, I think, going to come as a surprise to some of our listeners. What do they say if you're caught lying about your qualifications?
So if someone misrepresents the qualification on their CV, there's the possibility of a fine or even imprisonment of up to 5 years.
Up to 5 years in jail.
For those institutions that we mentioned earlier, I mean, the amendments grant the power to actually shut those institutions down and possibly a fine or imprisonment for 10 years.
Oh, okay. So it's for an individual up to 5 years in jail or a fine. For the institution, the possibility of being closed down and much more severe consequences as well. Now, for the individual, is this only if you lied as part of a formal job application? What about if, for example, you're putting yourself out there on social media, maybe on your LinkedIn profile or what it says about you on Twitter, as somebody who has a qualification in X when you don't actually? Are there any consequences to that?
That's the interesting aspect of the amendments, is that it doesn't limit itself to a CV. So if someone conceivably lies on LinkedIn or any other social media platform, that could also be a basis. And assuming the employer relies upon those representations to appoint that person, then yes, they could be held liable in terms of the legislation.
Okay, it's really sobering stuff, this. Let me bring in Dr. Linda Mayer at this point. Linda, let's talk a little bit about what actually constitutes lying. In some cases, it's going to be very clear-cut. If you say on your CV that you've got a degree from WITS and you never went to WITS or you never finished the degree, I think most people would find that easier to identify as a blatant lie. But I'm also aware that there are other ways of buffering a CV that might be seen as in the same vein. Can you talk to us a little bit about how they define this concept of lying on the CV?
Certainly. So we must remember, first of all, when there is a difference between embellishment and plain lying. So people might write things in a creative manner, and that would obviously be viewed very differently to somebody that lies outright about experience or a qualification. So when we look at a qualification, obviously the important thing that we look at is that a qualification, as you mentioned earlier, must be registered with the South African Qualifications Authority, but also that the provider where the individual studied, that they have accreditation. So they're an accredited provider, either with the Council for Higher Education and Training or with the Quality Council for Trades and Occupation. And also that the Department of Higher Education and Training has issued a license for those individuals to study at that institution. So often you'll find that there might be an accredited qualification that is registered with SAQA, but that the specific institution is not registered. So individuals enroll for that qualification, and the Act makes provisions specifically for individuals that can appeal if they were under a false impression, and those that then put forward that they have a qualification. Because the reality is that you enroll for a qualification and none the wiser. You complete this, it is not accredited, you're not loaded on the National Learner Record Database. Mm-hmm. And if you are if you have any concern that you have studied with an institution and that you are registered, you can email the South African Qualifications Authority free of charge, and they will verify for you whether you have been loaded onto the National Learner Record Database. So that is critical. So the important thing is to establish for everyone what it is that you are loaded on. Every single individual should do that so that you know that what it is that you studied. Because you must remember, some of the programs you might have studied before the inception of the National Qualifications Framework. So people might have studied legitimate qualifications at the time, but it might not appear on the National Learner Record Database because that qualification predates the inception of the National Qualifications Framework.
What does it mean for someone who's in that position? If you got your qualification before that framework came into place, how do you then vouch for your qualification?
So there was a process that was set out in the regulations between 2000 and 2002, where the South African Qualifications Authority allowed for a normalization, so those qualifications could then be registered on the NQF. So your institution should have done that. The NQF, we must understand that this whole process is obviously large. We're speaking about hundreds of thousands of people that have gone through the system during this entire process. So there might be glitches in the implementation, because we must remember, if somebody does this, employers now and educational institutions are compelled to verify your qualification before they employ you. Also, before you study further with that institution, with the South African Qualifications Authority. So let's say, for example, it happens that there is a problem with your qualification. What is it that you do? You can obviously, first of all, you don't want to get into legal problems. So you need to then appeal to SAQA, obviously, that you don't be put on the register of fraudulent qualifications or misrepresented qualifications. And your institution, there might be a process already underway with SAQA where these qualifications now, after the fact, are being loaded onto the National Qualifications Framework.
Okay, gosh, there's a lot to follow up on there. Just a sort of a slightly from left field question, Linda. What about someone who, as I know, a former colleague of mine had completed and passed all of his exams and completed his degree, but not actually been awarded the degree because of an outstanding fee balance in his case. So he's done the work, he's passed the exams, but he doesn't actually have the certificate and the formal nod from the institution saying this person passed this degree in this year. Is he allowed to put on his CV that he's completed the degree of BSc or whatever it was?
So if a person has not graduated, they will not have appeared on the graduation list. So in effect, they might have completed the coursework, but they cannot state that they have that degree if they haven't gone through the formal graduation process that is required in the Higher Education Act. Mm-hmm. So it is critical then that they state that they have studied it and they attach their statement of credit, but nothing prevents them from going back to the institution and sorting out whatever it is so that they can then appear on a graduation list. Okay. What is important is we find that within the HR realm that a lot of people, most of the lies that we get is that people have studied and they have outstanding courses, and they then purport that they have these qualifications, which is hugely problematic, obviously, in a number of fields, but not just the qualification, also the experience that they have obtained. So never lie about the job title that you had. You can expand on what it is that you've done, but never lie about your qualification or your experience.
Okay, really important information that, and thanks for those examples. Linda, if you have done this in the past, is there any way to come clean without now facing the potential of a fine or up to 5 years in jail? What do you recommend people do retrospectively?
So if you are currently with an employer and you got the position, your challenge is not going to be here until the employer starts a verification process. And most employers have started, are underway with that specific thing. So you need to make a choice whether you're going to go and come clean. Some organizations, to my knowledge, have offered an amnesty period for the employees to come forward so that they could normalize that situation. What you need to do going forward, however, is fix your CV if you're applying for a different position. Do not lie on that CV, because the days of taking a chance have now long gone. It is now a criminal offense. So although, the SACWA is still in process of implementing the register and the implementation and the guidelines, so although it's been enacted and the president has signed it, SACWA is still in the implementation phase of this specific piece of amendment in the NQF Amendment Act. But you must remember now to come clean. Don't change your CV. Don't pretend that you have something that you don't. And if you did something partially, then state that you did something partially. Because remember, the Act is also very clear now in the amendment that part qualifications and qualifications are both included. So you can't even lie about having a part qualification, pretending that you had enrolled for an LLB degree when in fact you hadn't, because that also is an offense. So be very mindful to be honest, truthful, and do not purport to have something, have done something, or have a qualification that you have not obtained.
Thanks, Linda. Let me bring Stephen back in here. Again, I think ears will be pricking that such a register exists, Stephen. Won't you just run us through what that register looks like, who's on it, and how long would you stay on it if you were found guilty of such an offence?
I'm actually going to have to defer to
Linda on that one. Okay, apologies. Let me come back to you, Linda, on that one. That register?
All right. So the register is still in the process of implementation, okay. And the South African Qualifications Authority will be publishing guidelines in the near future about how that will happen. So although it is an act and you cannot lie, the register, although not active, is in a planned phase. So don't take a chance to think that it's not there, because employers, because it has been enacted, will retrospectively have to make this information available to the South African Qualifications Authority. And when you appear on the list, it is a lifetime appearance. It's not going to prescribe at any given time. So, the important thing is also, if you have studied something internationally, like you'll find a lot of the computer certifications, A+, MCSE, all of those things are not necessarily registered on the National Qualifications Framework, then state there clearly that you did an international certification. Don't pretend that it is a qualification or a part qualification registered on the National Qualifications Framework, because that is when you get into trouble. Say exactly what it is that you did. A lot of employers still to this day want those international certifications. They are not necessarily interested in a particular qualification that is registered on the NQF, because they want a global international standard that is measured in these programs. Also remember that no training provider may offer or purport to offer a full qualification that is not registered on the NQF in terms of the Act. So if anybody says to you they're offering a certificate, a higher certificate, a diploma, an advanced diploma, a degree, an honors, a master's or a PhD, you have to go onto the South African Qualifications website and you put in the qualification number or title, and it will verify for you whether, A, that qualification is registered, and at the end of the qualification, it will tell you very clearly which provider is registered to offer that qualification.
That's Dr. Linda Mayer, who is an HR professional and former CCMA commissioner. Also with me in studio, Stephen Adams, who's a senior associate in employment practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Stephen, we've spoken about the person doing the lying. We've spoken about the institutions, the bogus institutions, misleading people into thinking they're doing registered qualifications. Is anyone else affected by this new legislation? I'm thinking of managers who are supposed to be properly vetting CVs, for example.
Precisely, and I think Dr. Linda's actually alluded to that fact, is that employers, before they appoint someone, they're meant to check with SACWA that the person does in fact have the qualification that they've listed on their CV or in any other documentation before they make that appointment. So there's an onus on an employer, including a government department, to check and make sure that people have the qualifications that they've professed to have.
Ooh, you slid that in, including a government department. That's a can of worms waiting to be opened there.
I guess so. The reality is that it's important that we have people who are occupying positions who have the qualifications to hold those positions, because we've seen far too often the consequences of people who are inadequately trained occupying positions that they shouldn't really.
Yeah. What about if you unintentionally, maybe before this, so say you've got an employee who applied before all of this legislation came into effect, who's been with you for 10 years on the basis of a CV that was actually made up, and it comes to your attention today. What should you do if you're in that position? Are you obliged to report it?
Who are you referring to?
The employer. If they discover that somebody who's been working for them was actually hired on the basis of bogus claims on their CV, are they required now by law to take action?
I'd recommend that they certainly inform the relevant authorities. But I think more importantly is the point that now you've got an employee who's been working for you for 10 years, but who doesn't have the qualifications for the post, and they've misled you about it. And what do you do about that? I think most employers will feel that there's been a breakdown in some ways of the trust relationship in those respects, and they've got to decide what they're going to do. Typically, you'll find that the employment contracts would contain a provision that you're meant to disclose anything that would affect the employer's decision to take you on. And so they may rely upon that and say, well, look, unfortunately, I've got to take disciplinary action against you. This is something that we can't ignore.
Any other final words to our listeners with regard to this new legislation and its implications for all of people listening today?
I think Dr. Linda's echoed it, and her sentiments have been perfect. She said, be truthful, be honest, tell people, you can embellish, but don't lie about the qualifications that you possess, because at the end of the day, it's just going to come back to bite you.
That's Stephen, speaking to us, Stephen Adams, Employment Practice Senior Associate in the Employment Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Thank you so much for your contribution today. Any final words from you, Dr. Linda Mayer?
The final words from me is just please take this legislation very seriously, and that, you know, invest in studying and developing yourself, but do not purport to have something that you don't, because you are going to run into serious, serious problems that will jeopardize the rest of your employment career going forward.
Dr. Linda Mayer, thank you so much for your contribution this afternoon. Former CCMA commissioner and HR professional. And please feel free to share this podcast with anyone you know who is job seeking, who is finishing their studies and busy brushing up that CV. Please share it, and perhaps with your own HR team at work, to make sure the message gets out there that the consequences can be much more serious and have a long-term impact on your job and career path going forward.